Greetings. Greetings to each one of you this morning. Brian, I'll start off. You're welcome. I said at home, if he gets to blow a little smoke and gets to drive, I think Tristan's good. So you are certainly welcome. This morning I was blessed by the song, What a Day That Will Be. And as we go through life, and again, Brian, as you with truck trouble, and as we go through life, we find ourselves in times where we have trouble and where there's hard times in life, and yet as we're reminded that we are just passing through, this is not our home, and what a day that will be. This morning, what I feel God laid on my heart to talk about this morning is Matthew 5. So you can turn, I'm going to read the whole chapter there, you can turn there. While you're turning there, this came from our last Sunday school book as we were talking, and we were sitting in Sunday school, and this message is myself, so you can sit and listen to what God has been stepping on my toes about. But as we were in our last Sunday school book, I believe it was on the lesson in non-resistance, and we were talking, and of course, a lot of times non-resistance goes towards war, but where it stepped on my toes was in our daily, individual, day-to-day walk in life. And how do I respond in day-to-day life? Curtis was saying about how he set a shed, and it was one of those sets that goes that way. And I think every one of us find ourselves in life somewhere similar to that sometimes. Of course, mine comes in the shed world as well, and you set one and you're all finished and you're about to pull out, and that's not where they wanted it, and you get to reset it, and you had plans, you had places to go, and the frustrations, and I find myself saying, well, I mean, yeah, I'd reset it, I'm okay with that, but I find myself in the truck and I'm driving down the road, and it's like if I ever have to repo it, I don't have any time to waste when I come back. And I find myself, yeah, as that lesson on non-resistance, I was like, well, that, how does that play in here? And I felt guilt for, it's like, that's not a non-resistant, that's not a an attitude for non-resistance. And my sermon's not on non-resistance this morning, so I'm just, this is kind of where the background, where it came from. And as I was traveling to Texas a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a story, and I listened to the story of a man that just, again, that very same thing, that went out of his way over and over again to those that were just absolutely cruel and mean to him. And I'll get into that a little bit later. I'm actually going to tell a little bit of that story a little later on. So Matthew 5, I'm going to go ahead and read the whole chapter. Seeing the crowds, he, Jesus, went up into the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. If salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, Not an iota or a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to put to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to hell fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. It is also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool of Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great thing. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say simply yes or no. Anything more than that comes from evil. You have heard that it is said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs of you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The text this morning is going to come out of verse 41. And I have down, go the second mile. Verse 41 said, and if anyone forces to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Now when Jesus was talking, and he said, if they force you, if they tell you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. I wonder if there was a groan that rolled out possibly. If you know what the law was, the Roman law at this time, they had conquered most of the Mediterranean world, and they had vast systems of highways. Some places say that they would have had more than 50,000 miles of roads that travel through the empire. And all roads at every mile had a marker that would point to Rome and would also the distance to the next town, as well as any dangers that they may meet along the way. Hence the phrase comes, all roads lead to Rome. If you were walking on this road and you were one of the people that had one of the territories that had been conquered by Rome, and a Roman citizen or a Roman soldier was coming along, he could look at you and say, carry my backpack or carry my load. And you were required by law to carry his load for 1 mile. It was 1 mile and only 1 mile, but you were required to take his load and carry it 1 mile. Now, if you were to think back in the era that they were in, of course they were walking. So, and I actually watched, there was a YouTube clip of a family that was traveling towards Jerusalem, I believe it was. They were headed to a town. And in the middle, here comes these Roman soldiers. And he drops his burden, his backpack, and says, "You, I want you to carry this. Where are you going?" And he said, "We're going this way." And he said, "Well, you have a detour. You're going this way." And he picked up the load and he carried this load. There was two soldiers. They picked two people, and two people carried the load. Now, walking distance, probably somewhere, what, about 3 miles an hour. So if you were required to carry this load, and you carried it 1 mile, and then you went the wrong direction and came back, there went about an hour and a half, probably. So depends where you were heading and what you were doing. Brian, if you were going fishing, or Cameron, Calvin, if you're going fishing, well, you might have lost your whole fishing trip. Or if you're on your way to work, suddenly you're going to be there a couple hours late. So when Jesus said, "Don't just go 1 mile, go 2 miles," looked like a big burden. What was he saying? And we read about a number of them here as we were reading through Matthew 5, bearing the burden. The mandated mile was motivated by the law. It was what they had to complete. You had to complete 1 mile before you could get to mile two. You can't walk mile two without going the first mile. The first mile was an obligation. It was a requirement. In verse 20, it says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." They were required to be righteous. In verse 21, they were required not to kill. Verse 27, not commit adultery. And verse 43 was to love your neighbor. That's all the first mile. That was the law. That's what you were required to do. On the other side, the second mile was beyond the law. The first one, not just to be righteous, but Jesus said, exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, or our own righteousness. The second one, not to kill. But Jesus said, don't hate. Not to commit adultery, but to abstain from all lust leading to it. Also in verse 33 and 34, second milers are honest with their words. They're truthful. They don't seek revenge. They turn the other cheek. They don't hate their enemies. They love them instead. Jesus calls us to live in the second mile. In verse 48, he calls us to be perfect. Today, there are many people among us that would go only the first mile. They want to do just enough to get by. In Revelation 3, verse 14, it talks about the church, and says about being about lukewarm. And he says, "I would that you were either hot or cold." But lukewarm, he would spew us out of his mouth. In Matthew 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, or cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?' Then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Last week, there was a group of you that showed that second mile, and I actually highlighted it in yellow because I wanted to touch on or to commend you for that this morning. There was a few of you sitting here or that know you were setting off fireworks, and the neighbor was didn't appreciate it, and you could have went on, but instead you picked up and you moved to somewhere else and finished out. You didn't have to. It was your property. You had the right to. And yet, picking up shows that second mile, going the extra distance. I had to think of Lot drilling his wells and how many times he picked up and went and dug a new well. At least this wasn't quite as hard as digging a new well. But I wanted to commend you for being considerate and showing Christ by just pulling out and going somewhere else. In Mark 10, verse 18, there was a man that came to Jesus and said, "Good master, what must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And the man said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." He had gone the first mile. Then Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell all you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. It was the second mile that Jesus was asking for, to lay aside our own pleasures, to touch others' lives, even those who may have wronged us. The second mile is the road less traveled, but it is here the Christian experience extra strength and courage. It is the second mile that impacts and changes lives. There was a quote that says, "Serving Christ means more." I'm sorry. It says, "Serving Christ means being more and doing more." I told you I listened to the story of a man. His name was Desmond Doss. A few of you may know him. James will know him. 1942, World War II. The draft broke out, and this man was a CO. He was a conscientious objector. And he said, "I will serve." He said, "I will serve as a medic," but he said, "I will not carry a gun," upon his belief. He was ridiculed. He was harassed. He was even threatened. There were ones that told him, they said, "When we go out to war, I will promise you, we'll make sure that you don't come back." Desmond didn't change. One particular night, as he knelt down beside his bed to pray, they began to throw their boots at him, making fun of him. They ridiculed his medical supplies, his medical bag. The next day was hot, Fort Jackson, South Carolina. And they were woke early, said, "Get up, let's go. We're doing 25 miles today. All your gear on, and we're doing it in 8 hours. And they began to march. These other guys that had ridiculed the night before were at it again. They were telling him, "We'll see how long he lasts. He'll be the first one to drop off." And they were picking at him. And as they marched, they got more tired and more tired. And they looked back, and he was keeping up. Pretty soon, the first one fell, heat exhaustion. And they called, and who was the man by his side but Desmond? He pulls out the water, gives them water, gets them in a cool place. Next is the one has blisters growing on his feet. And he takes the boot off, and he gets ready to start packaging it. And the soldier's like, he was worried about whether it's going to hurt. And I found myself, when I was listening to the story, I said, "Well, he could poke him with the pin. He doesn't have to be real nice now." But no, not Desmond. He said, "It's not going to hurt. You'll feel it just a little bit." He said, "It might sting just a little bit by what I'm putting on." But he said, "That's all." He said, "We'll have you back and running." And he took the time. He fixed it. He wrapped it up, put him back in his boot, put the boot back on the soldier. And this he did to each one of his team that he was running with. And that evening, he come back into camp just like the rest of them. He was behind, but not one left out behind. They started to see something in Desmond. They started to warm towards him slowly. But this is the way he worked. He served as a medic in Guam, the Philippines, and the Battle of Okinawa. I'm not sure exactly how you say that. And that's the one that he was actually the most well-known for. He saved 75 of those men that he saved when everybody else was told to run, and he was told to run. He's like, you got to leave. It's dangerous. There was gunfire. And he's like, I won't. And he stayed, and he carried one man at a time and handed him down across the hill until he had everybody that was hurt rescued. He was the first and only CO in World War II to receive the Medal of Honor. Upon receiving the Medal of Honor, this is what Desmond said. I feel I received the Congressional Medal of Honor because I kept the golden rule we read in Matthew 7, verse 12. All things whatsoever that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. It was even said he was actually injured in war. And as they were carrying him out on a stretcher, he saw a soldier laying there. And he jumped off the stretcher and he told them, he said, take him. And he stayed and waited until they could come back. He would give his life to go the second mile. The idea of the Roman rule of going 1 mile was they had conquered those areas. And by taking these people and making them carry a load for 1 mile, it reminded them that we are victors, that we are conquerors, and you serve underneath us. When we choose to go above and beyond, suddenly that which was designed to constrain us and steal our joy is rendered powerless. And then we have freedom to walk the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth mile, because we know our identity. Our identity is Christ. Jesus said, Matthew 16:25, he told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Now, while we go the second mile, we may not receive a Medal of Honor here in this world. But in Matthew 25, verse 31, I'm going to end with this. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed, to my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and you gave you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? The king will answer, truly I say, as you did it to the one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick in prison, and did not minister to you? And he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as ye did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So again, as we go through life, you do a good job of going the second mile. It was an encouragement. Like I said, it was stepping on my own toes to go the second mile. For even those people that sometimes take advantage of you, those people sometimes that are hard to deal with, to go the second and third mile, understanding that we're doing it for Christ, and this is not my home, and we can reach out, and it is in those miles that we can impact and touch the lives of others. Brian, do you have a song?
In the folder, number 23.
All right, number 23. You can stand. All right, let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for being able, or for going that second mile for us, for carrying our burden to the cross. Father, we just pray that you would be with us as we walk through life. Pray that you would open our eyes to the chances we have to reach out to others and help us to go those extra miles that we could impact those people's lives that we come in contact with. Thank you for the freedom we have in this country. We pray for those that don't have those freedom. And God, I just pray that you would be with each one here, bless each one, and this week that you would bless their week as well. And thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Life's evening sun,
you'll see.